James chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 13 through 15. And then these ladies are going to come and sing a special for us tonight. So James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. It's a familiar passage to you if you read the Bible a little bit. For James chapter 1. Let's stand together and honor God's good book. And please join me on that even-numbered verse 14 there. I'll read 13 and 15 from the Bible tonight. The Word of God says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, dear Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'll open our hearts to it tonight, open our minds to it. Help us, dear God, to receive it. I pray that we'd be humble enough tonight to receive your word. God, you said that you give grace to the humble. You give that divine influence on the heart. How desperate we are without that. How vile we will be without that grace. So, Lord, may your grace be spread upon us tonight. It will be if we'll humbly come to your word and receive it as it is in truth, the word of God. Help me, help these ladies as they sing, and may we have a good time in your Bible tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, BC. Practice. I'm telling you what, that was good. Good harmony and good practice there. A little more difficult than "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem." Amen. Very good, ladies. Thank you. We appreciate the effort you put into special music. James chapter 1, verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." That's what I want to speak on tonight, the subject of enticements. Enticements. The Bible says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We're going to go on a little progressive journey here tonight through these verses. So you stay with me, and I think the Lord will help us get something out of this passage. Dear Father, show us, I pray, Lord, your word tonight, that we behold wondrous things out of thy law. Spare somebody some problem, difficulty, heartache. Lord, spare somebody destruction. God, you put so much in your word to help us. May we get that help from these verses tonight. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. The devil is a sly and cunning enemy. No doubt about it. His desire is to ruin all of our lives. He longs for us to be destroyed. This is where the Bible says it ends. In verse number 15, bringeth forth death. Now that's the end right there. Death is the last word in that verse. And that's the end. That's his desire. Okay? Jesus pretty well identified that in John chapter 10. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he said about the devil. Okay? Now, the end word here is in verse number 15 is the word death. That's where Satan wants us to be. That's his purpose for our life. Death, destruction. It may not be physical death, but destruction of mind, destruction of body, destruction of soul. I remember making a visit. I think I said this not too long ago, in fact. I was making a visit down in Kankakee some years ago, knocked on a door. A woman came to the door, and boy, I thought, my goodness, and began to witness to her, and I thought that she was in her, you know, her 50s and 60s, and I don't mean this about everybody that's in their 50s and 60s here, but it surprised me, it shocked me when she told me that I found out she was actually in her early 40s, and I thought, oh my goodness. There's a little bit of difference in how 40-year-olds look and how 60-year-olds look. A little bit of difference. This lady looked like she'd been a part of something, like, you know, the parting whatsoever. She looked the part of that hard life. Destroyed. Death of hope, death of peace, death of joy, death of purpose. Destruction. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his purpose for our life. That's where he wants us. You know, of course, his main purpose would be for us to spend eternity in hell, burning forever, separate and apart from God, which breaks God's heart. That's his main purpose. That'd be his ultimate. But after we get born again, he can't send us to hell. They can't do that. It's over with. It's done. It's a sealed matter. Like I taught on Wednesday night, how long is our salvation good? How long is that mercy we receive? We didn't receive justice when we got saved. We received mercy. How long is that mercy good? It's as long as Jesus lives. As long as he lives. That's a study we paralleled, a picture we made, typology, out of the life of David this past Wednesday night. We'll get justice when Jesus dies. So I think we're okay. Amen? I think we're a long ways from justice. Now, death of hope, death of peace. I said death of joy, death of purpose, destruction. That's where Satan wants us. So, how does he get us to that place? How does he get us to no hope, no peace, no joy, death of purpose, maybe destruction of body, destruction of mind? How does he get us there? Well, the Bible says that he gets us to death or destruction by using sin. Verse 15 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin always brings death. Always. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death followed sin. Ezekiel 18 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin leads to death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Over and over and over again, the Bible makes it very clear. Sin is deadly. It's deadly. Now, we got to remember that, folks. Sin is deadly. And I'm not talking about the guy out that's gangbanging tonight. I'm talking about the person sitting in the pew and the guy standing behind the pulpit. Sin is deadly for us. Deadly for all of us. Satan's end purpose is death. If we let this side of the auditorium, maybe this microphone stand here represent death. That's his end purpose for every one of us. He wants to destroy our lives, destroy our testimony, destroy our reputation, destroy our joy, destroy our hope, destroy our peace, possibly destroy our body.
That's what his desire is. Now, how does he get us to this place? How does he bring us here? The Bible says he uses sin to bring us to that place. Sin is the tool he uses to bring us to death. If Satan can get us into sin, then he can start us on the road to death. This is the road, this is sin. This is the road that leads to death. This is where he wants me to be. He has to get me down this road to get me to his ultimate purpose. That's what happened to that woman that I visited with at the door there in Kankakee. She had partied hard. The drink, the smoke, the dope, the promiscuity, the wild living, the lasciviousness. All the intake of the evil, all the intake of garbage. And I will tell you what, after a while it brought her to that place. It brought her to the place, Satan, it brought her to the place of no peace and no joy and no hope and destruction. Her body looked the worse for it. The wear, that's how he got her to that place. Sin brought death. Sin brought destruction in her life. Make no bones about it. Sin will bring death to any and all of us if we start down that road. Now, here's the thing. Most of us in this room know that's true. We know that we can't start down the road to sin without ending up at the point of death or destruction. Now, we know that's true. Okay? And so, because we know that's what the drink and the smoke and the dope and the wild living will do. To most Christians, those things are not a problem. If somebody came to you tonight on the way out of church and said, "Hey man, there is a wild party over here on Highway 50. Let's what are you doing tonight at church?" "Well, I don't know. You want to go Monocles and get a Pete?" No. Let's go. It's on over there. It's a wild, wild. Now, 95% of the folks in this room would not be tempted by that. Brother Jason might be. I don't know, you know. But most of us would not be tempted to go over here to T.J. Donlin's. We would not be tempted to attend some wild party where the liquor was flowing. I'm talking about most of the teenagers. I believe 90% of the teenagers, maybe 95% of the teenagers in this room wouldn't be tempted by that. There'd be 5% fools, I guess, be tempted by something like that. But 95% of the people wouldn't be tempted. You know, if somebody met you outside here on your way out tonight with a six-pack of beer and said, "Here, listen, I picked this up," you wouldn't be tempted by that. Somebody say, "You know, hey, this house, we can go over here. Man, that guy's a crack dealer and he's got everything and all that stuff." And you wouldn't be tempted by those. I don't want to say those things are not a problem to us because in our flesh, anything's possible. But most of us in this room are familiar enough with the Word of God and familiar enough with the world and familiar enough with sin and right and want to please God to the point where, you know, it's not real difficult to, "I don't want that. Wild party? I don't want a part of that. Alcohol? I don't want no part of that." We're smarter than that. I'm not talking boastfully. I don't want to talk boastfully because anybody, let every man, what does it say? Don't be boastful. Take heed. Boy, when you take heed lest you're tempted. I can't remember how the verse goes now. Ah, that drives me crazy. It's in 1 Corinthians 10. And it says, don't be high-minded. Don't think yourself above sin because you could be tempted. You could fall. So I don't want to say those things are not a problem to us. But I'm saying that most of us are smart enough to understand that we're not going to go to a wild party. We're not going to go to the tavern. We're not going to go to the crack house. We're not going to get a six-pack of beer. We're not going to get a joint. We're not going to start down the road to all these things that we know lead to death. We're smarter than that. So is Satan. I mean, any of you men been tempted lately by an invitation to a crack party? Any of you men been tempted? Any of you couples? Any of you husbands and wives been tempted lately to go to some wild nightclub? Go up to Chicago where Dennis Rodman used to have his wild Excalibur and have a wild night. You been tempted to do that? That's been a problem for you lately. So if we're not tempted by that, then Satan's done with us. Well, I don't think so. The thing is, he's smarter than we are, probably. So his purpose is to bring me to death. That's where he wants me. The tool to get me to death is sin. He gets me on the road to death by sin. He gets me involved in sin, sinful living and sinful thinking and sinful talking and sinful behavior, and he starts me on the road to death. So how does he get me on the road to sin that ultimately leads to death? Well, the Bible says in verse number 14, but every man is tempted. So Satan uses it. Now look here. God does not tempt anybody to sin. Verse 13 makes that clear. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So just settle that right now. God never throws a temptation to sin in your path. Ever. It comes from Satan. If it doesn't come from God, it must come from Satan. So then the question is then, how does Satan use temptation to get us to sin? To start us on the road to death. How does he get us? If he can't use the wild party, and he can't use the crack house, and he can't use the six-pack of beer, or the marijuana cigarette, or the rock music, you know, and there's a lot of people in this church, 90% of the teenagers in this church wouldn't even listen to rock music because they know the evil effects of it. So if he can't use all those things, how does he get us started on the road to sin? Well, the Bible says that Satan uses enticements. The end of verse number 14, and every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So, here's death. This is where Satan wants us. This is his purpose. This is the road of sin that leads to death. He's got to tempt me to get started down the road to sin to get me to the purpose, his purpose for my life. But he doesn't come to me with raw sin. Say, here it is. Smoke this crack cocaine. Drink this alcohol. He doesn't come to me with raw sin. Run out here and be crazy and have an affair with somebody. No. Commit adultery. He doesn't do that. He didn't come and just throw those wild things at you like that. The Bible says if he's going to reel you in with temptation, he's going to use enticements. The word enticement is the word trap. It's the word lure. It's the word bait. The word means deceive. The word means to trick. He entices us with bait. We take the hook. We get snagged by the temptation. Then we sin and we start down the road to destruction. That's how it happens. I'll say it again. He entices us with the bait. We take the hook. We give in to the temptation and then we sin and start down the road to destruction. Now look, folks, we may not end up at destruction tomorrow. But eventually, if we keep going, that's where we're going to end up. Now, if you don't believe that, then this church or where you've been before you were a member of this church, if this is the only church you've ever been a member of, sometime just take a look around. There are folks not here who used to be here. And it's unbelievable, the fallout. It's unbelievable. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. But if we take the bait, if we go after the bait and we get hooked and we go for the temptation and we start down the road to sin, eventually, we do that often enough, eventually we're going to be over there. Because that's what that book says happens. See? It's the enticements I want to talk about tonight. It's the bait. It's the lure. Look, I use an illustration tonight. I hope it doesn't make you squeamish, okay? That is a deadly weapon. That is what I wish for those deer. That's what I want for that deer. That's what some of you guys want for those deer. That little instrument right there, propelled from a bow, that shoots anywhere from 280 to 350 to 360 feet per second. It's incredible. That's what every one of us wants for the deer. But when you go to the deer stand, you don't stand up there and say, hey, over here. You don't do that. That's not how you get it done. This is where we want them right here, okay? But you know, you don't get the deer to this point by showing them this. Right? So when you go, you have to use enticements. That is an enticement. If you misbehave tonight, I'll open it. As long as the lid is on it, we're okay. But that is, I won't tell you what that is. But that is pungent. That is strong. In fact, I got a little on my fingers right now. Amen. So shake hands with me after the service, okay? Now, if you take a little bit of that stuff right there and you put it in a little spray bottle and you spray that on your boots, or you take a little a piece of cloth and you tear it, rip a little, you know, get you a little piece of cloth and you pour this on it and you tie a string around that cloth and then you drag that cloth on the ground behind you, that's an enticement. I did that earlier this year, and the little buck was too little to shoot, and it was a full moon, and it wasn't shooting light yet, but the moon was so bright it was like a flashlight out in the woods. And I saw him come in, and I had walked in with that drag rag behind me, and this stuff on it, and I dragged it on the ground, and that deer, little buck, he's a little 4-point buck, 6-point buck. I watched him. He came all the way in front of. I watched him from down here, all the way in front, his nose on the ground. Stopped for a minute, put his nose back down on the ground. He walked all the way around the exact path that I took and walked all the way into the tree stand. He's right there. Then he looks up and sees the ladder. And he took two big bounds away. And he didn't spook, but he thought that ladder spooked him, but the ladder scared him a little bit, so he took two big bounds away. Then he put his nose right back down on the ground again, and he followed the same path all the way back, because to that deer, that's an enticement. That's an enticement. This is what I want, but I can't get him with this. I got to get him on the road to this, and in order to get him on the road to this, I got to entice him. Amen. That's not all. This is an enticement. If you can't get them with their sense of smell, you get them with their sense of hearing. Now, I know that sounds funny to you, but if you've ever been on a deer stand and you hear that, oh my goodness, you're excited. Female deer don't make that sound. That's a buck grunt. Yeah, that's what that is. I know my wife shakes her head, laughs when I get ready to go to the woods. I know if you don't hunt, you don't understand it. But if you get to these things, and I mean, if a deer's a long ways off and you do it loud enough and you learn the proper calls, you can make it sound like a... You can make it sound like a deer, like a doe. And I've had plenty of these guys that hunt. I'm not the greatest hunter. I'm not a very good hunter at all. These guys that hunt, a lot of guys better than me in the church, they've watched deer come right in. Come right in. Come right in. That's music to my ears, brother, I'm telling you. Come right in. That's an enticement. This is what I want, but I can't get the deer by showing him this. I've got to get him by showing. But there's not all. They make all kinds of things. They make all kinds of things. This is another enticement. This is especially good to get a nice sized buck. That's what they call a rattle bag. This makes the sound of two male buck deers fighting. And you can hit that like that. And you do that, And you're doing this? I know you're laughing. But they come running. When I preached for Brother Baker out there, his father-in-law let me sit on the deer stand one afternoon out there in Iowa. And I'm telling you, and it was just the right season of the year, and I didn't have this bag. I had some actual horns, some actual antlers with me. And I put those things together, and I'm telling you, I'm kind of looking all of a sudden, busting out of the woods. I mean, I saw this brown body just bust out of the woods. I knew what it was. Even before I could see his antler, I knew what it was. It was a buck. And he's coming, man. I can see he gets about 70 yards out, and he's got a massive rack, and I'm trying to put the horns down and get my bow and arrow up, and I'm trying to not move, you know, try to get him to come in. I'm hitting that, you know, and he's looking around, man. He's looking. I mean, he's enticed. Now, he didn't come in. Smart. They're smart. But a lot of times they will. And all of those things are enticements to a deer. This is what I want for him, okay? It puts meat on the table. It puts maybe a trophy rack on the wall. This is what I want for him. But I can't get him in close enough to this by showing him this. I've got to entice him. I've got to lure him. I've got to bait him. I've got to reel him in. Now, it's very interesting that all of these baits that I just showed you, all of these lures, this grunt call, this little bottle right here, and this rattle bag right here, all of these baits, all of these lures, all of these tricks are of interest to deer. You know, you don't go hunting a bear. The bear doesn't care about that. It didn't interest the bear. You don't go to the deer stand and bark like a dog or howl like a wolf. The charismatics do that. Because, wait a minute, I'm going somewhere. That has no interest to the deer. You don't go to the deer stand with the smell of dead fish. You don't give a rip about that. It doesn't interest him. It's not a part of the deer's makeup. It's not a part of what entices him. So men have learned what entices a deer. What does entice a deer? This entices a deer. And this entices a deer. And this entices a deer. And it's a huge market. Huge. Some of the nicest stores you'll ever see in your life are these new Cabela's and Bass Pro's and Gander Mountains. They're huge and they're unbelievably nice. They're unbelievably beautiful. There's a huge market for that. Now, when I hunted bear up in Canada, they didn't use this stuff. I hunted bear up in Canada, they used grain mixed with molasses and they sprayed it with anise. But that doesn't, the deer don't come to molasses. And the bear don't come to this. Every one of those species of animals is enticed because when we use something that is of interest to them. Are you listening tonight? Is it coming down to what you understand? Satan is no dummy. So that's why the Bible says in 14 here, every man is tempted. Here it is. When he is drawn away of his own lusts. Those things that are of interest to him. And Satan knows that. And he uses specific enticements that are of interest to me. He'll use specific enticements that are of interest to you. You see, the bait that Satan uses for me, he may not use for Brother Caleb. And the bait he uses for Brother Caleb, he may not use for Brother Jason. And the bait he uses for Brother Jason, he may not use for you. The bait he uses for children may not be the bait he uses for adults. The bait he uses for a teenage boy is not the same that he uses for a teenage girl. Every one of us is enticed according to our own interests. What interests us? What can he hook us with? Now, there's a few things that probably are bait for all of us. I believe with all my heart. You know what? This book is full of tragic stories. They didn't all start the same way. A lot of these tragic stories began because people were enticed, drawn away of their own. That's, you know, what may be a temptation for me may not be a temptation for you. And what may be a temptation for you may not be a temptation for me. But Satan's got my number. And he's got yours. And he knows what interests us. Now, let me give you just a couple of thoughts here about what may be an enticement Satan uses. I believe Satan uses the enticement of power. And I believe that's really what he got Eve with in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Remember what he said to her? He said, Eve, he said, God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he was telling her? You eat this fruit, and you're going to be able to decide what is right and what is wrong. You won't have anybody telling you what's right and what's wrong. You won't have to worry about that because you're going to be as wise as God, and you'll know what's right and you'll know what's wrong. And Eve, you know, hey, what's wrong for somebody else may not be wrong for you. And what's right for somebody else may not be right for you. But you'll be as God. You'll be able to decide what's right and wrong for yourself. That gets a lot of people. That gets a ton of people. That's what some people want. That's what pulls their chain. That's what in... You know what that is? That's... Well, that's your interpretation of the Bible. That's what you believe, Dad. That's what the church believes. And, you know, that's what Pastor Angel said. And that's what so-and-so said. But, you know, I believe... Well, I'm going to tell you something what you better be. You better be sure you're right. You better be sure you're right. We're not a Catholic church. I'm no Pope. I got 6 kids. I don't speak ex cathedra. No inspired words come out of my lips unless I'm reading them from this book right here. And I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful going against what people, what men down through history have interpreted as revealed truth and just turning a deaf ear to it and saying, well, that's what you believe, but you know, I believe. You know what that is? That's... Yeah, come on. Come on, sister. Come on, sir. That's an enticement. If what you've been taught from the time that you were a child, if you've been an independent fundamental Baptist church, has been taught to you from this book right here, I would be very careful about going after that little enticement. That look, that's what they believe. That's what you've been told. But you know what? Is that really what it means? You can decide for yourself. That's an enticement. And you take that bait and give into that temptation on any issue, and it won't be long till you're going down the road of sin. You say, how do you know this? Because I've sat in the office with people who've looked across the desk at me and said, well, that's your interpretation. And that's as far as I'm going. Because I'm not going to be ugly if I can help it. I'm going to tell you, it's sad.
It's destruction.
Well, that's your interpretation. Some standard of entertainment, some standard of dress, some standard of behavior. That's your interpretation. What that is, that's, you can decide for yourself. You know, you can decide. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's an enticement. The power. I think another one. Secrecy. And by secrecy, I mean the desire for no accountability. That's what the prodigal son wanted. Dad, give me that portion of the inheritance that's mine and just, you know what? I'm moving out. I'm going to be on my own now. A little bit of that, you know, that longing for nobody looking over my shoulder, nobody to report to, nobody to tell me what time to come home, nobody ask me where I've been, what I've been doing, who I was with. You know, I'm just gonna do it my own. That's what makes cell phones and internet chat rooms and MySpace with .com with passwords that only you know. That's what makes those things so stinking dangerous. It's your place of no accountability. And parents, for the love of your children, do not give in to the pressure to have their own little site on MySpace.com with their own little password. Do not give in to that. Just put your foot down or up. But just do it. And don't be afraid of making them angry. They will get angry. Let them get angry. Let them take it out on the snow that needs to be shoveled. It's a good place to take care of that anger, son. I can be free from accountability. I want to tell you something. Everybody needs accountability. Everybody. Don't bristle at it. Don't swallow the bait. You know, this almost epidemic, and it's widespread. You talk to other pastors, and these kids at 18, 19, and when I'm moving out. I'll tell you, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. And many times it's nothing more than just I don't want you asking me where I've been. I don't want you telling me I can't go there. I don't want you because you know as long as you live under a roof, you're going to have some accountability. You have some rules. I don't want that. I don't want to tell you where I'm getting, who I'm with, and have you 30 questions. And so, you know, this little life out here on my own, by myself, you know, not accountable to anybody. Show up for work, and then when I'm done with work, just do what I want. I will tell you, that's dangerous as a day is long. It's an enticement. You take the bait, give in to the temptation, you start down the road to sin. Pretty soon, you're dead. Now, folks, I could go on and on. I mean, where do you stop? Strange flesh? That's an enticement to everybody. At any age. Strange flesh? I'm talking about a woman, a man, a person of the opposite gender, a teenage boy, a teenage girl. They call this afternoon from a pastor in a distant state. Angel, what do I do? Boy from our church goes over and picks up a pastor's daughter from another church not too far from here. They've been gone together for 2 or 3 days. Show up at my church this morning. Life is wrecked. He can't get us here by showing us this. This is too repulsive to us. This is too repulsive to us. And because we've been around the Word of God, we know what leads to that. So he can't use those obvious things.
But he's not going to leave us alone. He's got a strong market of enticements, specifically designed for each one of us. That's bait, a trap, a lure. And if we take the bait, we give in to the temptation. We start down the road to sin. And we end up with a dart through our liver. By the way, you hunt, do you know that that's a kill shot? A dart, an arrow through a liver is a kill shot. I killed a buck out here, northwest of my house. Never saw a drop of blood on the ground. Never saw blood anywhere. And the buck wasn't 30 yards from my stand. Hit him in the liver. The book of Proverbs talks about till a dart strikes through the liver. It's a kill shot. But it doesn't get us with that. It gets us with this. So you've got to think and you've got to ask the Lord. You've got to be careful in your own life. And you've got to do a little analysis. You've got to take a little stock. And you've got to say, you know what? Am I being baited? Am I being lured? And be wise enough to avoid it. See, if I can stay away from enticements, I won't give in to temptation. If I don't give in to temptation, I don't start down the road to sin. If I don't go down the road to sin, I'll end up at destruction. So I got to do... You know what's frustrating for a hunter? Be all scented up real nice and pretty. And be up there. They look. Just keep going. But they live. They live. You can learn so much from nature. That's why God put so much about nature in His Word. The other day, I came down my road. The day, Marty, we went to get Armstrong, the tile Armstrong. I'm coming down the road. I'm not dressed. I'm dressed to work because we're going to go, Brother Irvin and Brother Jorge, we're going to go get the Brother Caleb, going to get the tile from Armstrong. I come down my road, and I'm in the pickup, and I'm looking, because I'm always looking this time of year for those animals, looking for those deer. They're usually on the west side of the road. And tonight, that morning, I looked over to my left, to the east. I could not believe my eyes. There were four bucks in one field in broad daylight. Two monsters. One was a huge 10-point with his antlers way up in the air. The other was a huge, thick 8-point, came all the way like this. I pulled over on the side of the road. I got my binoculars out, man. I'm looking at those animals. $4, one young doe in heat. About 100 yards out in the field. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how can I get out there and shoot those animals? How can I do this? Guy pulls up behind me. He does it. He pulls over on the side of the road too. We're glassing those, looking at those bucks. And that big 10-point, I got to watching him, and he was looking at me, at us down there on the road. And he would stiffen up and look at us, and he would take 3 or 4 steps away, like he was ready to run. Then he'd turn back and see the girl. Come back. Then he'd see us again. And he'd back up. And then he came back to the girl. He wouldn't leave that girl. He knew better. He doesn't run around in broad daylight. That's why he's that big. He runs around at night. But he gets stupid when she's around. Enticements. Nobody here is going to get there
by saying, hey, one night I walked out of church and I went to a wild party. That's how I ended up there. One night I walked out of church and I went over to this guy's house and bought some crack cocaine smoke. That's how I ended up, I wrecked my life. Walked out of church to the crack house. Nobody's going to say that. There's some disasters. I'm not kidding you. There's some disasters. It all started with this. That's how it starts. It's called enticements. Well, that's what you believe. Let's pray. Dear Father, bless us tonight. Simple, simple, simple lesson. But keep us safe, please. Protect us. Lord, help us. Protect the young people of this church, the adults, everybody in between. Help us to be careful of the enticements. Satan has our number, and we'll use them on us in Jesus' name. Some of us know what those enticements are. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We know the enticements that Satan uses on us, how powerful they are. Now, you don't want to end up at destruction. Don't worry, Pastor, I'm not tempted by crack cocaine. I'm not tempted by wild music and dancing. That doesn't tempt me. No. That's not what he uses. He uses the enticement. Be careful of the bait.